It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast, life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, and kind of a theologian this week and an observer of trends of history, as we were talking about today's show before the recording. Mm-hmm. Well, the subject this week is the anxiety depression epidemic. Mm-hmm. Maybe question mark on there. Maybe some of the we've heard from the councils for health that anxiety depression disorders are going to be like the number one health problem mm-hmm. going here in the future. And you kind of wanted to address maybe some of the causes of this.
Yeah, I do see, again, anxiety, depression is probably the number one, hands down, the number one presenting problem. And I would say if it's not the presenting problem, it's what gets people to counseling because they worry about their situation, whether it's finances or communication. It's the concern about that. Mm. And the concern that people have about some of those issues in life is against the backdrop of the idea that there don't seem to be answers. A problem that you know you can solve is very different from a problem that you think you can't solve. Now, you mentioned the epidemic, because that's in my notes, that's why you mentioned it. But the epidemic, there has been, if you do just a quick research on increased diagnosis of anxiety, depression, there has been an epidemic, and a lot of the research shows that it began to, there was an upward swing beginning in the 1930s. I've been, interestingly, reading a Francis Schaeffer book again, The God Who Is There, and he actually has what he calls the line of despair around the 1930s, where philosophy changed in the U.S. about 1930, and I think of Great Britain and on the continent probably about 100 years earlier. Mm. And it had to do with the loss of what we might be called divine absolute or antithesis, where mm-hmm. if something is right, its opposite is wrong, and that God is the morals are absolute. And you see, in today's societies, we don't believe those things, even in the church, as we were speaking a little mm-hmm. bit. It's getting increasingly difficult to find a church where right is right and wrong is wrong. And in all this milieu, you have an increasing frequency of the diagnosis of anxiety and depression. And I just think there's a connection there between those two. You see kind of the decline, the deterioration of family and social support and spiritual integrity. You see that decline almost as a reverse of the incline of, or an inverse of that incline of the frequency of diagnosis of anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was listening to reading something earlier about the history of psychiatry, and they were talking about how that they used to believe that depression and anxiety were spiritual issues.
Really, even in secular psychiatry? They
thought well, this was pre-secular psychiatry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Secular psychiatry actually came along when pharmaceutics they sort of went hand in hand. So they believed that it was a spiritual issue until pharmaceutics came along, which, interesting, in my mind, almost comically, it's almost like saying that we believe God God created the universe until we discovered physics.
Okay.
And then that
does seem to be.
It's sort of a parallel thinking that, mm-hmm. that pharmaceutics don't argue at all that anxiety and depression don't have a strong spiritual, and I'm not talking about demon possession, although that's.
You mean spiritual in the man's ordered thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yes. When we lose sight of the fact of the absolutes mm-hmm. and that God is in control and that there are absolute morals and absolute rights. And when the reality begins to start in myself and then I build truth from myself outward, I get into a mess because I find that I can build in any direction and philosophically everything will be truth as long as I matter to myself or mm-hmm. I make sense to myself. And then what happens when I no longer make sense to myself is that, you know, I claim that nothing makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we're sort of in that.
We're reaping that.
This is kind of where we're at. Mm-hmm. And so if it started in the 1930s here in America, you can see things that may have led up to the despair or the sense of despair and forgetting the divine, kind of the divine origins of things. You had, well, first the First Civil War in the late 1800s. And then you have, in the early 1900s, you've got the First World War. And then right in that late 20s, early 30s, you've got the Depression. Then you've got the Second World War, which kind of pulled us out of Depression. But it was kind of like the, it sort of began like an industrial revolution or an increase in industrialization, which made people more urban following the war, which was led to the breakdown of the families and kind of the disintegration of our social and spiritual and moral support and accountability. And then first thing you know, you've got these kinds of values in the education system. And so we have a generation of children beginning to learn by example and by being taught that there are, that things are relative, that there aren't necessarily
instead apples. Antithesis
is gone.
Now it's a synthesis now.
Yeah. So, that's exactly right. Synthesis took the place of that. Instead of right and wrong, they can synthesize. Well, now those children are now the adults. And so we have this—
Who are running things.
Who are running things.
And they've raised their children with these kinds of ideas. And this brought up, just come full circle to you, a lot of the people you see in your counseling time, you had a young 20-year-old come in, and the parents were all upset about him and— What's wrong with him? He'd been on 10 different antipsychotic drugs and things, and it's just, it really got to you.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I have from time to time seen people with multiple disorders, diagnosis, and multiple medications. And we're sort of like, we're chasing the symptoms. Now, this is, we've talked before about some relatives that we have or people that we know who have really suffered a specific breakdown.
Physical
breakdown. Reason. So deterioration of the brain matter or health in some way or another that can bring on depression, despair, or even symptoms that don't have necessarily directly to do with those things, but can be interpreted as that confusion, those kinds of things. Barring that, which as much as that happens, it's a relatively small percentage of the mental health industry. A lot of
which
these,
has become a huge industry.
Which is a
like
huge
I say,
industry.
We're mentioning an epidemic.
Yeah.
Number one health problem is anxiety and depression.
Right. And so I see that people are they're just becoming more and more diagnosed and more and more. I was thinking of an illustration here. Supposing I had some work for you to do, Mark, and I said, it's a chore for you to do. If you'll help me out, I can't get around to it. Maybe you could give me a hand. So I take you into the work area, and I've got 250-pound gunny sacks and about a yard of sawdust. And I say, could you put that sawdust in those two bags? And you think, well, that won't take me more than about 15 minutes, Oh, sure, I can do that. But then suppose I take you— That works out pretty well for us. So I take you to another job, and now I've got like about 100 gunny bags and about 15 yards of sawdust, and now you're overwhelmed. But really, what's changed? I mean, it's the same process. It will take longer, but it's the same process. And I think that people, when they start getting these multiple diagnoses, they think of them, they just want to give up. And what I want to say to people is, nothing really has changed. The process of getting out of these, of mental illness, is the same, whether it's a 150-pound bag and a small bit or 150-pound bags. It's the same process. You're not really more ill. But I think the multiplicity of diagnosis has an exponent on it. An emotional exponent on it and a psychological exponent on it, where people just want to give up. So what I want to say is, you can back out of that stuff relatively simple.
Simple, but not easy.
Not easy, but simply. The works are, or the mechanisms are simple, and it can be done. Obviously, the more a person's carrying, the more of a task it looks like to them. But when I get people in that have, you know, multiple diagnoses and they're on, you know, I got to be frank with you. One of my goals is to wean them off of the medications and away from the diagnoses, because all the diagnoses are just a collection of symptoms. Mm. It's not like a medical diagnosis where you can look at some sort of a CAT scan or something and find a clogged artery or a cracked bone. Mm. Mental illnesses are, if you look for it, you're going to find it. Because any kind of worry, they're going to say, well, it's a neurological imbalance. But as I was telling you, I have a neurological imbalance at the first of the month. Every time I open the mail and it's got the bills in it, right. And the only way to settle that neurological imbalance is right. to take care of the bills. And that's really the process of right. Mental health. We're not all dealt the same deck. We have different people carrying different loads, but the process is the same. Mm. And so it's a matter of managing. It's a matter of managing
life. And some of the commonalities that mark people who are struggling are things that you are always talking about on this show. One of them is fellowship and mm-hmm. the getting back to a support system, mm-hmm. so crucial. Mm-hmm. And young people and people even in their 50s who come in for counseling, the real common denominator you say is always, well, they're not in any kind of fellowship. They can't. Mm-hmm. They're loners. And that's, isolated.
You know, that's mm-hmm. part of the fallout of, again, the urbanization that's gone on. And unfortunately, as we've talked about before, a lot of the churches have become so urbanized that they're sort of like seeing the big picture, but they're not taking care of the, you know, kind of the underlying. It's almost like having a home where I'm spending all the time beautifying the home, and there are cracks. I'm beginning to see cracks in the foundation, but I just go ahead beautifying the home and cantilevering out and building new, adding a remodel here and there, but I'm not paying attention to the foundation. Mm. So the foundations being this divine absolute, moral absolutes, and things like that.
Okay, well, we are going to take a break here, but before we take the break, we wanted to find out how to get in touch with you. People are being overwhelmed. They've got multiple diagnoses going on. They like what they're hearing from you on how to get back to the absolutes of the faith and maybe some sound mind, mm-hmm. having a sound sure. mind in their life or their loved one's life. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your mm-hmm. podcasts are also on that website,
yes, you'll find the podcast there. Yeah.
Different shows and different discussions you've had before. Okay, more with the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, Counselor and Life Coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, looking at the subject of the epidemic of anxiety and depressive disorders that we're seeing in our society. And Daniel, you're certainly mm-hmm. seeing in your practice and mm-hmm. getting to maybe some ways to treat this mm-hmm. in a biblically right. based way.
Yeah, what we looked at in the first part is just kind of a history of it, because I think it's important for people to understand that if you have anxiety, depression, and even some of the people that I've met who have a multiplicity of diagnoses, and it just seems that they've come to a place of just feeling totally out of control and mm-hmm. totally overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. That we're also in a particular place in history. It's not just me and my neighborhood isolated. It's we're a place in history where God is trying to do something special in the church. And I think that one of the things that he's clearly doing is he's separating the church out from the world. And so one of the things I've run into, Mark, a lot is people who, a couple of things, if people who aren't handling anxiety and depression, aren't able to manage that, one of the things that they're missing is a good, solid prayer life. And I believe that this is one of the reasons that God is allowing us and taking us down this hard road is to bring us back to a place where we pray. Prayer is so central to a Christian's mental health and calm. Mm. And frankly, we just don't know how to pray. And I hear people in my sessions saying, "I'm learning how to pray. I'm having to pray more." And I really believe that this is one of the things that's a good that's coming out of this. But we've talked about, Luke 21:26. I've got this verse here. Let me say, Jesus talking about men's hearts will fail them. He speaks about the time of the Gentile coming to an end, which to me speaks of
Like we're in that time.
Sort of the time that we're in right now. Right. You see what's happening around the world, and that this is the time when men's hearts will fail them, when they see things happening on the world. So, for the church, he says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. So what we need to be doing here is really learning how to pray, because this is a time of being in touch with God and in communion with one another. Now, we've talked a lot about our grasp for value, control, and power, and that whole idea of I'm either pursuing value, control, and power through immediate gratification, which would be addictions, or things I achieve and things that I acquire, which is the American dream.
Materialism.
Even a larger vision, pursuing value, control, and power through surrender. And that is, our pursuit of value, control, and power, I believe, is trying to lead us back to divine absolute. It's trying to lead us back. You know, Jesus, or God said in Genesis 3:17, for your sake, the ground is cursed, and the ground is cursed for your sake. And one way that we can read that is for our benefit. Now, it does mean because of you or on the count of you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not for our benefit. It's not as though God was taken off balance and had to curse the ground because, man, the trials that God allows in our life are for our good. So the work that we have to do for this whole search of value, control, and power leads us to a place of recognizing that life is an encounter with God. Now, again, the most frequently presented problems today are this overwhelm, emotional overwhelm, and multiplicity of diagnoses, numerous medications, sometimes to the point of, like a total disorientation, loss of control, which sounds very complex, but the tools to manage this in a spiritual way are actually not very complex. I talk about the reversal of a cycle of emotion, cycle of anger, cycle of addiction. It's really the same cycle. Four little stops. It starts with anxiety, depression, which is generated by what I'm going to refer to as our inbox, and we'll get to that in a second. But the anxiety and depression, the cares of this world.
Right.
The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I sort of paraphrase that, manage your inbox with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
There you go.
And so we all have things that we need to do, and some of them are spiritual things, and some of them are practical things. But for our sake, we have these trials, and they're leading us back. So we need to, reversing that, you know, we have it starts at anxiety, depression leads quickly to boredom. Then we fantasize about how can I get out of this, and then we have an event. We either grab the phone and play solitaire, or we get a drink, or we toke a joint, or we look at some pornography, or something. We go buy something, some addictive pattern that we. And so, reversing the cycle means cutting off the avenues of the event. Now that leaves me back at the fantasy, which if I don't act out on it, I'll be bored. So I'm back to boredom. And then we want to go right back to the anxiety, depression, the inbox, and find out what's generating the anxiety and depression. And this leads us back to a place where we really have to begin to grow in our faith, grow in our prayer, and do some of these other things. When we talk about organizing the inbox, and so one of the things I do with people is go back to that anxiety and depression, back to the pain of it, and concentrate and come up with until you can figure out what is it that's actually generating that. And it usually is going to have something to do with value, control, and power. And so, and it's also going to involve my body, because when my body is not healthy, that threatens my sense of value, control, and power. Mm-hmm. So the body, the mind, the way that I think, and also You could say body, mind, and are you going to say spirit? Well, I'm going to say worship. The distinction between mind and soul or mind and spirit is fuzzy. Mm. But, you know, what we do with our mind is that's how we think about life, and we generate our plans and our goals, et cetera, et cetera. Worship is different. Worship is that part of my mind that's dedicated to following Christ and growing in God and growing. And so I say body, mind, and worship. So some of the suggestions that I make to people in organizing this, not all the suggestions, but we can talk about a bunch of them here. Certainly in organizing the inbox, people will say, well, there are, again, some of the things that are very practical that are generating anxiety and depression. Now, these could range from a loved one that's not walking with the Lord, or I know I've talked to people who have loved ones who have been diagnosed with incurable diseases and they're carrying that weight, or it could be financial, things really difficult like that. And it also could be, and it could range all the way up to mowing the lawn or painting the sashes or things like that, you know, taking care of the monthly bills. So all those things could be in the inbox, and they all have to be managed. They have to be labeled. I say labeled. Talk to people about when you label your inbox and try to organize your inbox and get a sense of where does my anxiety come from, because once I label that, it's some of those are not likely to change. So some of those anxiety and depression issues have been there, most of your life, and they're not likely to change. They keep coming up to the top of the pile, and then you have to have the way that you deal with them. This is something that I talk to people about and teach people about in counseling. But some of the stuff in the inbox can be taken care of just by, there could be hobbies that I'm not getting around to, social connections that I'm not getting around to, in addition to responsibilities. And one of the suggestions that I make to people is to find ways of making assignments. I was recently talking to a person who kind of spoke of a concern that's not uncommon at all in the situations where people can find themselves in their own personal life taxed, and then something else gets loaded on the wagon, and that's the health of a loved one. And now they feel that they can't take care of their own life because they feel guilty about pursuing their own life when they've got a loved one there.
That comes up a lot with caregivers.
Sure.
And particularly people in 50s and 60s taking care of ailing parents.
Exactly.
It's a huge thing. That,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have to find ways to make assignments, not only of those requirements, but also of the hobbies that give us pleasure. And that's difficult to do. So sometimes,
and you're actually saying that hobbies and pursuits of music or art are actually good to have in the toolbox.
They're actually responsibilities, and and so people have to look at that. That's part of managing your inbox. You know, a lot of times, if you've ever experienced having to care for a loved one, or somebody's asked you for a favor, and the time comes up for the favor, and it's, you know, or if it's something that has to be, you know, it's kind of a almost a chronic drain on your time or your resources, and so you know what it feels like to feel like you're bound to that, you have a commitment to that, and so you can't justify doing other things. You have to make assignments of those things.
Well, and a very important assignment as we wrap up here is social connections.
Yeah, social connections.
Getting back to that.
And primarily Christian fellowships. And I have a comment down here, Church Plus, because as we've talked about the church in some of the previous shows and people out there listening, some of you know how difficult it is for you to find the church that feels like your family. And sometimes we, at least we of the older generation, where we were used to growing up in a kind of a one-stop, you know, this is my church, this is my community, these are my friends, this is my Bible discussion group. Sometimes today that's not what you're going to find. You might go to a church and where the pastor is really feeding you, but you're just not connecting with the people, and you might have to reach outside of that for to meet that other
need.
Which is okay, and very much a necessary part. I think maybe in some ways it's healthy, because the body of Christ is not just a Baptist church or Episcopalian church, or the body of Christ transcends those, and so sometimes it's a healthy thing to have, you know, part of my church are friends that I've had for a long time, Christian friends who have never attended the church that I attend, and yet in some ways they're my strongest fellowship, but I certainly go to church for things.
So that's definitely some of the things that keep you having a sound mind. And as you've been intrigued by Daniel's prognosis and maybe some of his ideas on how to help the mental health of your life or the life of someone you care about, how do you get in touch with you, Daniel? How do we do that?
Well, you can call me. The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, people can contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And also, through that website or just online, you can look at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. I've got some good articles there that touch on a lot of the things that we've spoken about on the radio.
Mm-hmm. And your offices, again, are located?
The offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. So always great information with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on the Sound Mind broadcast.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.